welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again, and we're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse number 13. They've come to the Lord and asking him about his authority, and then he's given a parable regarding the Lord, a certain man, and the Lord of the vineyard, and how he dealt with the husbandman and what he would do. The chief priests, Pharisees, Sadducees, those guys, the scribes, elders that are there, they know that the Lord has directed that parable towards them. And in that, the Lord is told what he's going to do. And then in verse number 13 of Mark 12, we see here, "And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words." And so they're still trying to find fault with the Lord, finding some way that they can snag him and accuse him and be able to silence him. That's what they want to do. They want to put the Lord Jesus Christ in this great ministry and great work that he has. They want to put him out of business. They want to shut him down. "And when they were come," verse 14, "they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" And so they come to him, and these are the Pharisees and some of the Herodians. They're loyal to the Roman government and to that government of Herod. And they've got connection back to Europe and Rome's government over the region and a kind of the local elite of leadership, if we understand all that correctly. And so they pose this question to him, and or they say, you know, kind of tongue in cheek commend the Lord, saying that he is no respecter of persons. They lead him with that. And then they say, "Is it right? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" And so there's taxes and there's tribute and there's custom, different things that are there. And it's hard to understand what all is right. You know, remember the great taxation that was in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, where all the Israelites were to go back to the town of their nativity, and that's the reason that the house, the town of their fathers. That's the reason Joseph was found at Bethlehem with Mary and Jesus being born there. And so that is different than tribute, and then there's maybe a little bit of difference with custom. And so they ask him about this tribute. Is it lawful to do so? Is it lawful to pay this to Caesar or not? Shall we give, verse 15, or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, so he knows that they are hypocritical. They're asking one thing, but they're leading to find occasion unto him in another. He knows that, and the Lord knows that. The Lord knows you and me better than we know ourselves, and he knows these fellows' hypocrisy. He knows what they're after. They really don't care about the tribute and the paying of the tribute. They care about tripping him up and being able to accuse him before the Roman government. And so he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, whose image and superscription? Whose is this image and superscription? So he says, why are you guys tempting me? And he said, bring me a penny. And they do, and they hand it to him, and he holds it up to them, and he says, whose image is this? And whose writing and telling about this on the coin and the government that's behind this, whose image and superscription is this? And they say unto him, well, it's Caesar's. And it is. I mean, Caesar's got his head. It's been coined on the coin that is there. The writing that is there is writing that tells and represents Rome, that it's the Roman money. And they say, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, verse 17, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. and they marveled at him. The Lord says, this is the government that's at hand in our land. This is the government that occupies Israel. There's honor to be shown to the civil government. Scriptures are plain that the civil government is of the Lord. Yes, the Lord is not, don't be confused, the Lord is not for wickedness, and nor does he support or sanction wickedness at all. Men are wicked. Our Lord either stops it or allows it. He never is the originator of it. I don't believe and don't see that. Our Lord is righteous and good in every way. He judges men, and that's our Lord, that he must do that. His nature requires that. But the Lord also judges nations, and he uses nations to judge other nations in that. But the Lord has ordained the leadership, and Caesar was Caesar because God Almighty had ordained him to be a ruler in that. Caesar didn't take that office by himself, but he was either directed to it or allowed to obtain it by our Lord. He establishes it. So we are to submit to the civil government until the civil government would cause us to disobey our Lord and the word of the Lord. And so that's the way that it is. And so the Lord says, what Caesar's got coming, pay it. Pay it. And what the Lord has coming, what God has coming, don't forget to pay that too. See, these fellows come and they are hypocritical. They've got a motive that they're trying to hide. And they ask this about Caesar and what Caesar is due and trying to find an occasion to trip up the Lord. But the Lord concedes he's the government. So what he says to pay, pay it. And the honor that is due him as leader, that's to be given. Now, I don't think that the Lord would want us to worship Caesar. And that was a thing that was at hand in this day. Caesar was God on earth for the Romans, and the Lord, I don't believe, would be pleased with that at all. But they're talking about the tribute, and they're talking about the money, and the Lord is. And so those things that are due, those taxes that are due, those tribute and custom that is due, lawfully due by the civil government of the land, the Lord says pay it. But the Lord says this too, what's the Lord's? Don't forget that either, because he is, Caesar is Lord on this earth and presently over Israel in this day. But God is Lord of lords and King of kings. And don't forget to render unto him the things that are due him. And you know what? They marveled at it. You know what it is when you marvel? I mean, it's your jaw is dropped open. You are in amazement at what you're hearing or seeing. It's hard to believe. And they couldn't trip him up. They couldn't take him at in his words. And that was astonishing. He gave an answer that just stopped their mouths. It made them to where they had nothing more to say. And then they went off. And we see here in verse number 18, then come unto him the Sadducees. So we've seen the Pharisees and the Herodians. They take their swipe at him. And then the Sadducees come along. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection. The Sadducees also say there's no angel, no spirit. And so they come unto the Lord and they say, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brothers die, and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren. The first took a wife and dying left no seed. The second took her and died and neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. So the Sadducees, which don't believe in a resurrection, they don't believe in a spirit, they don't believe in angels, they come to the Lord and they've got their round of temptation, and they come unto him and tongue in cheek, and they say unto him, Master, they reverence the Lord. They tell about this that was ordained by God in Israel, and certainly we don't do this today. It's not appropriate to do this in our culture, but the Lord had given this to Israel, and it was right. It was what the Lord gave them. So the lineage and the households would stand and continue on. And so these seven brethren, they have the oldest or the first married this woman, had no children, and then died, and then the second and the third, all the way through the seven, no children result of any of these marriages, and then the woman dies. And then they ask in verse 23, in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And so they show their ignorance. They show their ignorance indeed about the things of the Lord, and they don't believe about the resurrection. They don't believe that the resurrection is so. With pretense, behave as if they do. And you can see them, in my mind's eye, I can kind of see them with a smirk on their face in the resurrection. Listen to this answer. It's clear and concise. The Lord hits them right where they need to be corrected. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? You don't know what the word of God says, fellas, and you don't know the power of God. Listen, for when they shall rise from the dead, Jesus makes it clear there's a resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. The Lord makes it clear that there are angels in heaven. They don't know the scriptures. They don't know the power of God. They've not been listening as the word of God has been read, as they've read it themselves. They've made up their own doctrine, denying angels, denying the resurrection. And Jesus makes it clear they are there. And as touching the dead, this about the spirit, he's going to deal with them too. Have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He, that is God, is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. He says plainly there that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're alive. Oh, they don't have a body like they used to have that died. But God is the God of the living. Yes, there is that which is spiritual. There is that of the soul. When the saved sinner dies, the sinner that's been saved by the Lord dies, their body dies, their soul goes on to be with the Lord, and presently they are in a spiritual existence and form with God in heaven. The Lord Jesus makes it plain. You guys haven't been listening to the scriptures. And in the scriptures, indeed, you have not seen the power of God. There is no marriage on the other side. There is no marriage after the resurrection. What a foolish idea. All will be focused upon the Lord and those things that he has prepared for his saints and for his children. There is a resurrection, and there is no marriage. They're as the angels. The angels are so, and they are now presently alive. Even Jesus spoke to Martha about these things as we read in the Gospels. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.